Kai's all alone, Ms. Elbow's a grandfather clock, and we kinda go extreme? It can only mean one thing. It's time for the European Uppercut Podcast.
Oh, European Uppercut!
Thank you for downloading this week's episode of the European Uppercut Podcast, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. My name's Kai Valentine, and I'm here as always. And once again, I'm all alone. My panel have departed. They're no longer with me. Well, I'm hopefully that they'll be back in the next few weeks, but we can never let a week go by without some European Uppercut Podcast, and that is why I'm here with you today. We're going to talk all things Extreme Rules, everything to do with what went on that evening. We're going to go through your emails as well. We've got one emailer in this week. Can you guess who? Pretty sure you know who it is by now, and we'll talk a little bit about Raw as well. Lots to come on this week's episode of the European Uppercut Podcast, but I think we should start things off with the news. You're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast, and let's head over to our friend down in New Zealand. Yes, I said New Zealand. It's Mr. GBL.
It's time for the Nutso Knockout News!
Hello and welcome to the Nutso Knockout News, the New Zealand edition. Conspicuous by his absence on SmackDown over the last few weeks, Rusev is apparently in limbo as WWE tries to decide what to do with him now that another anti-American heel, Jinder Mahal, has been rocketed up the brand's hierarchical ladder. Wrestling Observer linked the Mahal elevation and Rusev's absence. This would seem to confirm the logic train of thought expressed by many fans and pundits that the Bulgarian Brute storyline plea for a title shot and Money in the Bank was nixed when they instead decided to put the WWE Championship on Mahal. Now the question for Rusev is, what's next?
The cream of the crop, and there is no one that does it better!
In an interview with the Baltimore Sun, Alexa Bliss was asked for her reaction to being left out of the Four Horsewoman discussion as one of the redefining revolutionaries responsible for the resurgence of women's wrestling in the last few years. Yeah, I think it put a chip on my shoulder and it really drove me, Bliss said. I decided that with this opportunity, I was going to come in under the radar and so I'd have to kick down the door. I wasn't featured as one of the Four Horsewomen, I wasn't chosen for that opportunity, I wasn't highlighted like the other women, but I was still there with all of them. I was there just as long, if not longer, and some of them because I was there before Becky. I came in when Charlotte and Bayley and Sasha were there. I had trained with each and every one of them. I had some of my best matches with Sasha and Bayley. Charlotte took me under her wing when I first got there. I was there for all of it. I just wasn't featured at the time, so I thought that if I was going to be called to SmackDown, then let them underestimate me and let me come in under the radar so I can kick the door down.
Gross.
Jim Cornette was recently featured on a WWE Network Table for Three program, and he had voiced his opinion regarding one of the major problems that he sees with today's product. The concept has changed from the most important thing being presenting a believable, simulated conflict that the people can buy as a fight, to a performance of awe-inspiring athletic moves. And I think the problem is they think they're going to do the moves and that's going to get them over. And they've put the cart before the horse. Now it's hard for anybody to really work up a good dislike for a heel or hero worship idolatry for the babyface. Speaking of Table for Three, there has been talk of doing a Table for Three show featuring Vince McMahon on the WWE Network later this year. WWE Hall of Famer Harley Race has broken both legs after a fall at his home in Troy, Missouri, on Tuesday. Race sustained a fracture to his right femur and suffered breaks to his left fibula and tibia, as well as a spiral break of his left ankle. The WWE Hall of Famer required emergency surgery to relieve the swelling in both legs late Tuesday night. He subsequently received 4 blood transfusions and underwent surgery on Friday to reset the fractures. Here's wishing Harley Race the best on his road to recovery. And celebrating birthdays this week, Velvet Sky turns 36.
How you doing?
Mick Foley is 52.
How you doing?
And NXT superstar Liv Morgan is 23.
How you doing?
And that'll do it for this week's Not So Knockout News.
Thank you once again, as always, to our New Zealand correspondent. Yes, I said New Zealand, Mr. GBL, with the New Zealand edition of the European Uppercut Podcast News. Thank you very much, Jeebs, as always. And some very interesting stories, I must say. Let's take a look at some of them now. The first one to mark off, of course, is the first story that he mentioned, Rusev. What happens with him next? Now, Jinder Mahal seems to have jumped into that position of anti-American heel on SmackDown. And I tell you what, I cannot blame Jinder Mahal, and I'm sure Rusev feels the same way. You know, if you fall injured, someone else has got to step up, and sometimes they can pass you by. Now, I'm not saying that Jinder is better than Rusev, I'm just saying that he's taken advantage of a situation, and I cannot fault Jinder Mahal in any respect for that. But I don't think that means that this is the end of Rusev or the end of the character for him. I think that he has a huge amount of potential to be one of the biggest stars of the next 10 years. He's hilarious as well as great in the ring. He's got a good character as a heel. I'd be interested to see where he goes babyface, and that's where my argument's going to fall. What if Rusev turns babyface? Is that something we'd be into? No? Yeah? Let me know. At the EU Pod on Twitter or EuroUppercut@gmail.com on the email. I'd really be interested to know whether you'd be interested in seeing Rusev as a babyface, and more importantly, would he be able to pull it off? I think so, yeah. I think it'd be really cool. I wouldn't put him up against Jinder Mahal straight away, but put him, you know, as a babyface, move him to one side, do something else for a little while, build himself up. Could be interesting. Really could. I mean, the guy's funny, and we like to hate him. You know, it's built up over that time, and it's this new thing about the new type of villain in professional wrestling. But is it only that we... That on that note, is it only that we only like him because we like hating him? We like him doing all these dastardly things. A little bit like Chris Jericho over the last couple of months, you know? He was doing all these dastardly things and being a bit of a dick, yet he was there and totally, you know, everyone was loving him. Maybe it'd be a case that if we did turn him babyface and he started doing babyface things, that the majority of the mainstream crowd may not enjoy it as much. It's a risk, but it's a risk that I think they're going to have to take at some point, so why not now? Put him up against Jinder. Let him go up against Jinder and say, you know what? I am an outsider here. I was an outsider and you've taken my spot even. That could be interesting. Rusev as a face. What's everyone's thoughts? I know I'm not the first person to predict that, and I probably won't be the last, but I'm interested in seeing it. I want to know whether you're interested too. Let's go on to the next thing on the news, and that was Alexa Bliss talking about how she wasn't included in the Four Horsewomen, but it made her strive to grow as a performer and become better, and I've got to agree with her once again that I think this was probably the best thing for her. If it gave her the drive to create the character that she has now and improve so much as a wrestler, performer, and personality, then only good things can come from it. Alexa Bliss is high on my list of one of my favourite things about WWE at the moment. And over next to Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette talking about professional wrestling and his views, and God, I never thought I would say this, but I kind of agree. I kind of agree with Jim Cornette. I think that there's an aspect of wrestling that has been lost, in that everyone's trying to, I don't want to say big phrases like, well, not big phrases like this, but these well-used phrases like, get your shit in. I don't want to say those kind of words, but, you know, it's the truth in some matters. I worry that we're maybe losing the psychology behind wrestling, and people are just trying to do too many moves, too many Do I sound like I'm moaning? I don't want to go down that rabbit hole again. Do people agree with me on that point? Somebody please let me know, because if I'm just rambling to myself, I'm going to be very disappointed. Come on, there's people out there. I look at the downloads. Yeah, they're not that high, but there's more than just Mr. Fourth Row listening. Isn't there? Anybody out there? Let's move on to the next... I can't believe I did that. Let's move on to the next story, and that is Vince McMahon on table for three. We've heard it rumoured for a couple of weeks now, and the rumours just keep on coming. I'd love to see that. Who would be your choice for table for three with Vince McMahon? Gotta admit, I think, you know, Bischoff and Heyman and Vince would be the ultimate one, but that feels like a bit of a cop-out. If it was going to be any others, I'd say Vince, Steve Austin and Mick Foley. That would be my three. But I think I would still rather see Bischoff, Vince and Heyman. I think everyone... If you do not want to see Bischoff, Heyman and Vince sat round a table, then please let me know, because that... I'd be extremely surprised. Have they ever been on television together? All three at the same time? Surely they must have. Yes. Yeah, they have. But not in a, like, rivalry kind of way. Maybe I'm remember I was born in 96. I was a little bit young to remember a lot of the stuff from late 90s, early noughties. So my memory may be deceiving me there. But no, I'm very interested to see whenever Vince McMahon is on screen, especially in these sort of behind-the-scenes atmospheres, I'm always interested to see it. The man's got an incredible mind, and he's the reason why we are all professional wrestling fans today. Let's never forget that. And finally, Harley Race. We would all here at the European Uppercut Podcast and the Trending Topics Network like to send all our prayers and thoughts to you and to your family at this difficult time. I really hope that you get well soon, Harley. A legend of this industry, someone who's paved the way for many, many others. You know, we wouldn't have a United States Championship in WWE today if it wasn't for the great work that Harley put in with that championship to start with, and I think that it's something that really needs to be said. So Harley Race, get well soon, and we are going to continue on with our show. We got plenty more to come here on the European Uppercut Podcast, but first let's see what Grado says about you tuning in to the show. Stay tuned to European Uppercut Podcast.
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Grado. It's yourself. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut Podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut Podcast. I'll say it three times, the European Uppercut Podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
Let's have a look what's in our inbox this week for the European Uppercut podcast. Remember, if you want to send in any emails to us, it's eurouppercut@gmail.com. That's EuroUppercut@gmail.com. Trying to spell in my head. Yeah, I did it. I'm sure enough. Wow. These job applications have been really wearing me out. let's go into some of the inbox messages that we've had. And we got one in from Mr. Fourth Row. He says, it's a go! It's a go for Mr. Fourth Row's email for this week. Is it me, or is it more often than not that heels get the championship celebrations? Do you think it might just be because it's easier to write or play out on TV? Any other thoughts about this? Mr. Fourth Row, that's his view, not from the cheap seats, not from the most expensive seats, but of course, from the fourth row. Thank you for that one, Mister. Now, let's have a chat about it. I think that, yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It's definitely because it's easier to write. I mean, if you're sat there watching a championship celebration for, say, John Cena as a babyface. See, John Cena comes back, wins the WWE Championship, and they have a championship celebration for John Cena. What good does that do? Like, kids aren't bothered for the celebrations. Dad, you know, family members and mums and dads would probably sit there and go, that seems a bit... When you watch the... What I should say is, when you watch, like, championship celebrations for the heels, they are super arrogant about it. And these lavish celebrations are always very arrogant, shall we say. And yet, if that was for a babyface, they'd just get a negative response. And you don't want to add more negative responses to some of the responses that the babyface has already get, do you? So I think you have hit the nail on the head there. And yeah, it is always the heels that get the championship celebrations. What's some of your favourite championship celebrations in history? Gotta admit, the first one I remember watching as a kid was Edge and Lita, when Edge won the WWE Championship and they had the... they were promoting this live sex celebration on Raw, and I believe John Cena came out and FU'd, or attitude adjusted, Lita. And I remember as a kid... Well, I'm not going to tell you what was in my mind as a kid watching that at 11 years old, but yeah, rather enjoyed it. Anyway, thank you very much for your email, Mr. Fourth Row. Keep sending them in, as always. Love to hear from you, and I'm sure we'll hear from you again next week. If you want to send in any emails to the show, it's eurouppercut@gmail.com. If you want me to spell it again, I'm not going to. You can rewind it and find it out again, or you can find it on www.trendingtopicsnetwork.com. Go and check out the great work that Living Legend has been doing behind the scenes here at the network. I've got to admit, you know, I make jokes about me being here on my own and all of the people who are on this show, the panel, deserting me. Living Legend's still doing a lot of work behind the scenes here at the network, and I know that Kiwi's very, very busy with his new job at the council. PK's pretty much running a wrestling promotion now, and Adam is busy as always. Hectic schedules for him, and luckily I'm here to pick up the slack. Let's see how this goes. Anyway, thank you very much once again, Mr. Fourth Row, for the email. Keep sending in your emails for next week. And it's time now to chat a little bit about Extreme Rules 2017 right after this.
Hey, you're listening to Robbie X. Make sure you check out European Uppercut Podcast. Robbie X. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Where have all the steel chairs gone, and where is all the blood? Oh, that was a mistake. Oh, I'm going to regret doing that. Oh well. Yeah, that's what made me think of this song, to be honest. And that was my view on a lot of the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. But let's get on with talking about it properly. Yes, let's talk about the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. I was very negative when I was going into this pay-per-view. I remember last week, and I know when I listened back, I realised I was not a fan of everything heading into it. But I thought I would go in there, and you know what? I rather enjoyed a lot of it. There are bits that I really enjoyed. There are bits that I was disappointed in, but that's what breaking down a pay-per-view is always going to be like. There'll be some bits that I didn't like, some bits that I did like, but let's talk about some of them now. And we're going to start, and I'll go through the predictions and results as well. But my main thing about this pay-per-view was what I was trying to portray there through the art of lyrics, and that is, where have all the steel chairs gone and where is all the blood? Now, there was steel chairs. There wasn't blood. I didn't really expect blood. But my main issue was, this was an Extreme Rules pay-per-view, and there were... well, let's face it, there were not enough Extreme Rules matches, in my opinion. I really wanted something mad to happen. I'm not saying something unsafe. I'm not saying something anti-PG. We've done so much in the PG era, and beyond, where we've gone, you know what, this can be pushed here, this boundary can be pushed here, but it just felt like there was something lacking from this pay-per-view, and that they were really holding back at times. Now, there were good bits, and I'm going to get into those, but that's my main point to start off with. Weapons. If you're going to do an Extreme Rules pay-per-view, have more than steps and steel chairs in the main event. You know, there wasn't much more than that. There might have been a kendo stick in there, I'm not sure. I was hoping for multiple tables. I was hoping for something special, but it just didn't happen. And maybe that's just what they didn't have planned. And you know what? That happens sometimes, but I just felt that it let down the pay-per-view in some way. That overall, there was not enough Extreme Rules matches. If this wasn't named Extreme Rules, I'd be thinking, you know what, this is a decent card. But because it was given that name, I had a different expectation. It was basically what it doesn't say on the tin. It's the opposite of what it says on the tin. It's like opening a can of corned beef and finding tuna. And I really don't like the smell of tuna. And that whiff of smell of tuna sticks around for a little while, and it can put you in a bit of a shit mood. And that's how I felt a little bit. But there were some shining moments from the pay-per-view, and we're going to get into those now. So let's take a look at the first match. The first match on the card was Kalisto defeating Apollo Crews with Titus O'Neil in a singles match. 9 minutes 40, pre-show match for you there. I didn't check this one out, and it wasn't on our prediction sheet. However, looking at it, one thing I want to mention about pre-show matches is, the good thing is they get a lot more time. A lot more time than normal matches on the card do, in the most part. And that happened here. You know, 9 minutes 40, it was one of the longer matches on the card, although there was some long matches. And I'm always happy to see when these lower card guys get a little bit more time on a pay-per-view. Even if it's on the network, there's probably more people watching the pre-show than the actual main show. in reality. So, yeah, very happy to see that they were given 9 minutes to put on a match. I obviously haven't seen it yet, but there's Kalisto defeating Apollo Crews. What's happening with the Titus brand? A little bit confused as to what's going on there, but that's probably because I'm a little bit behind on wrestling. But I'm excited to see where it goes. You know, when something comes out of the blue that I go, oh, I didn't see those two guys going together. And I think that Apollo Crews is a great star that can be built on, and Titus O'Neil can be built on as well. I think they don't work on their own at the minute, but together they could really work. So that's all I'll say for the pre-show. Let's move on to the main show, and it's The Miz with Maryse defeating Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental Championship. This was a singles match, and if Ambrose had been disqualified, he would have lost the title. Now, I said on last week's show that I was really not looking forward to this match because I was really disappointed that they weren't going to do something big with Ambrose with lots of weapons and go all extreme. But I tell you what, actually, for this match, it was pretty damn good. I was really worried that it was going to be just a normal, bland match, but they put on a really good match, and the structure of it worked really well. The stipulation was used throughout the match. It could have been used in the finish, possibly. It was used in the finish, to be fair. Yeah, it was used in the finish, but, I mean, it could have been used in the finish, maybe, to actually end the match properly, but, you know, it means that Miz gets the win. We don't feel like we've had a screwy finish, and Ambrose loses but doesn't lose clean. Actually, I think this was the perfect ending. This was probably the perfect ending for all parties. Now we see Ambrose going on to a different feud, and we'll see where that goes. But I think that The Miz is amazing. I love Miz. I love Maryse. I think they are a great addition to the Raw roster, and when they're Intercontinental Champion together, it's only great TV. 20 minutes that match came in at, a sizable match as well, so I was really impressed with it. Actually, I thought I was going to get bored with it, but they proved me wrong, and I have nothing bad to say about that. Let's take a look at the sheet as to where people predicted. This is one that I got wrong, I'm sure I did. And yes, I did. I went with Ambrose, as did GBL, the New Zealander, New Zealand. And but lots of people from the Team EU side went with Miz. In fact, lots of people in general went with Miz. Only Man in Black, me, GBL, AA, and Wayne and Biohazard went with Ambrose. Oh yeah, Hallmark did as well, went with Ambrose. Luckily, not many of us bet points on it, so all is good. Looking to the next match then on the card was Rich Swann and Sasha Banks defeating Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. Living Legend's gonna hate me. Let's have a look at the match then. A mixed tag team match. Mixed tag team is not Extreme Rules. Let me state that once again. Mixed tag team match is not Extreme Rules. I'm very close to swearing, but I'm trying not to because I'm in a studio. and it was an alright match. Nothing special, just, yeah, in my opinion, it was there. But I'm glad it was there because it meant I could bet 5 points on it, and I got it correct. Swan and Banks, +5 for me. Lots of people betting on this. The majority of people going for Swan and Banks, it seems. Only Legend, Fourth Row, Adam, Mounty, AA went with Dart and Fox. So there we have it. Things were looking quite even between the sides by this point. However, Team Eat versus Team Work, it was interesting to see how Team Work start to sneak up on us. And in the end, over Takers. Let's move on to the next match on the card, and this was Alexa Bliss defeating Bayley. I wonder when the last time was on a pay-per-view that two matches involving women were back-to-back. I would if there's any factoid people out there, let me know. I would love to know whether there has ever been a time where, or when the last time was, that two women's matches were back-to-back on a pay-per-view. Technically, the mixed tag team match wasn't a women's match, but you know what? It also wasn't an Extreme Rules match. But the Alexa Bliss versus Bayley match, kendo stick on a pole for the Raw Women's Championship. Confused by what was going on. Not going to lie, the commentators told me that one of them, whoever grabbed it first, could legally use it on their opponent. Then they both used it, I think, or Bayley grabbed it first and then Alexa used it. Confused. Not going to lie. And it was short. I was expecting something better. 5:10. The shortest match of the night. That's a strange one. I hope it had nothing to do with their really bad segment the other week. That This Is Your Life. But I really think that these two women can do something great, and maybe this gimmick wasn't the best one for them. Come on, you're pushing the boundaries of women in professional wrestling. You're having a women's ladder match on a women's Money in the Bank ladder match on SmackDown next month, this month even, whenever it is, and yet you can't find something better for Alexa Bliss and Bayley than a kendo stick on a pole match. I see the story that they were trying to tell. I see the story in that, you know, Bayley needs to find that fire and in her and energy to kick the crap out of Alexa Bliss. But it just felt like Alexa Bliss was dominating Bayley, and Bayley just seemed like a petulant child. She just seemed like, no, she didn't have that fire in her, and therefore she failed, and that's it. If you're going to play that story, you've got to have some sort of overcoming for the babyface at some point, even if she kicked the crap out of Alexa and then kept the title. But no, it's not happened, and not massively happy with that one, but I am happy that Alexa Bliss is still champion, and she can move on to whatever's coming up next, and it'll be interesting to see. On to the... Oh, no, I'll have a look at what people voted for on that match. Alexa Bliss. Everyone went with Alexa Bliss, apart from the Hallmark of Sweden. Hallmark, you did not have a good show. In fact, you were the worst. -8. Shame on you, Swede. Shame on you. Is that racist? Xenophobic, racist? I apologise. I could have said something about card shops or clogs or something. Is it clogs in Sweden? I'm going to move on. Let's have a look at the next match, and that is Cesaro and Sheamus defeated the Hardy Boys, Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy, in case Wikipedia readers didn't know who they are, by escaping the cage. I liked that there was no pinfalls in this match. That's one thing I really did like. But can someone explain to me the rules of a steel cage match? Now, before I start going on a little rant again, loved the match. I thought it was ace. I thought it told a good story, and, you know, there was the chance for the Hardys, getting one dropped out and then having to come back in to save him. Love that. But, I thought the rules of a steel cage match, and maybe this is me playing SmackDown vs. Raw 2000, and SmackDown vs. Raw was the first one that I had, or SmackDown Here Comes the Pain, one of those two. But when you were playing SmackDown vs. Raw, the original from 2005, you climb out of the cage, and, you know, you may be in a tag team match, you climb out the cage, you cannot climb back in to go and help your partner. Your wrestler, no matter whether it's the Big Show or a creator wrestler core, just stands there still. And I realise I am mimicking this with my arms, and none of you can see this because of radio, and I should know this by now, but they just stand still. They are stuck. They cannot move. So why was Jeff Hardy able to come back into the ring? Because it's no disqualifications. Okay, that sold that one for me. He's allowed back in the ring. But, in what way was he coming back in the ring making it so that he hadn't dropped out of the ring next? That confuses me, if that makes sense. So Jeff Hardy technically escaped. So coming back into the ring, since when was that a rule that if he came back into the cage, that means that he needs to escape again? I have never heard that rule in 15 years of watching professional wrestling. Please, somebody, if you know about that, like if that's a thing, do let me know. I will happily hold my hands up and say I did not know that. I have been corrected. But we'll see what everyone says about that one. I'm hoping that that was done to create this reason for why the Hardys should have a rematch. Hoping. And it wasn't just an oversight of people going, well, the fans won't notice. Because this fan did. And he's not even that intelligent. Let's have a... But no, the whisper in the wind from Jeff Hardy off the top of the steel cage, that's what I want to see at an Extreme Rules pay-per-view. That is definitely what I want to see. It was something different as well. I was really glad that they didn't just put the Hardys in another ladder match. And interesting note was that they lost and won the titles this year on the exact same date that they lost and won the titles in 2007. That is an incredible coincidence, if it is one. But it probably isn't. Let's go on to the next match. And I was going to give you the results of where people voted. And this one split the room, I believe. Yeah, it did. Lots of people going Hardy Boys. Lots of people going Cesaro. And me putting +5 on the Hardy Boys. I lost out big time there. But luckily, Hallmark, my good Swedish clog-loving card writing friend. Only the Brits are going to understand the card writing, I think. you, my friend, also put a +5 on the Hardy Boys. We both lost out on that one. We got to stick together. Stick together, man. Stick together, man. Right, my hair fever's playing up. Let's move on with the show. Next match on was Neville defeating Austin Aries in a submission match for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Once again, submission match. It's not Extreme Rules. Well, it is. It's no disqualification, but could have used some weapons or something. Maybe I'm just... Do I sound like I'm moaning because of weapons? I just want a few more weapons. Am I out of order for wanting a couple more creative weapons on this pay-per-view? I just feel like it would have, you know, put another table in there. Put another... Just something. Just something more than a chair and a flight of stairs. Anyway, Neville defeated Austin Aries for the Cruiserweight Championship, and lots of people lost out here, myself included. Everyone went with Aries apart from Mr. Fourth Row and Neville. And Neville, yes, Neville voted for himself. No, it was Mounty. So Mr. Fourth Row and Mounty are correct there. Fourth Row putting a +5 on it, and Mounty putting a +3. Mr. Fourth Row, I made a bit of a comment last week about how he didn't do very well at the last one, and that I should... he was on the same level as me, that was it. I am not going to pick fights with Mr. Fourth Row again, because he's now leading the board for everyone. 36 points The closest to him following up is Karp with 32. Very well done, Mr. Fourth Row. You have earned my respect. That probably means in wrestling terms I'm going to kick your ass, but we're going to move on. And the next match, the final match of the night, was Samoa Joe defeated Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt by submission. Fatal 5-way Extreme Rules match to determine the number one contender for the WWE Universal Championship, and it came in at a massive 29 minutes 15 seconds. 29 minutes for a match. Wow, that's quite long for a pay-per-view. In this day and age where the pay-per-views are around 2 hours 40 minutes, something like that. I was happy with this match. There was a lot of stuff going on. Still think there could have been a couple more creative weapons, but overall, I want to say that the storytelling in the match was on point. Reigns' spear of a couple of guys through the barricade was just immense. I loved Joe and Wyatt joining up and helping each other out. I thought that was really cool. And overall, very, very happy with this match and very happy with who won it. I was sure that it was going to be Finn Balor. I was sure. But they're going with Samoa Joe. Where this leaves Joe versus Lesnar as to who's the babyface, who knows? But I think that's one of the cool things about Lesnar, is that he can be babyface one month and then heel the next, and it's just a matter of who's going up against him that shows his alignment, and that's what's really awesome and really unique about the Brock Lesnar character. Final predictions from everyone, and everyone got it wrong. Everyone got it wrong apart from one man, and his name is PK Punk. PK got it correct, and he actually did really well on the pay-per-view. He got 4 out of 6, but he put no bets on it, so actually he landed lower than me, and I did awful with 7. But you know, people, things are looking up for the predictions, and we got lots of great stuff to come. We still got, you know, another 10 months of predictions to go, so it's really anyone's ball game. Even Hallmark, who is currently walking around in his clogs with 1 point to his name. Oh, Hallmark. You'd have been better if you didn't predict anything that pay-per-view. You really would have. You'd have done better. Oh well, that's a shame. Let's have a think about this now. The Extreme Rules pay-per-view is over. Overall, I enjoyed it. And I really hoped that this would drive me back into wanting to watch Raw and SmackDown on a weekly basis again and get back into it full-time. And it did for the most part, but I've been extremely busy, and I'm going to tell you more after this next jingle, a little bit more about what I've been up to this week in regards to wrestling, probably my life, because I like to moan about that. Let's move on with the show. You're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast here on the Trending Topics Network.
This is a Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network.
I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm ba 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 ba.
So let's take a moment now to talk about what's been happening since Extreme Rules. I really wanted to find time to watch Raw. I did. After watching Extreme Rules, I thought, you know what? I'll give it a try. I'm really happy that Samoa Joe is going up against Brock Lesnar. I think that's going to be really cool. Let's see what happens. And I didn't find time. I did not find time to watch Raw or SmackDown this week. And then I came across a spoiler. Well, a spoiler for me, it had already happened. And that was a report saying Samoa Joe has choked out Paul Heyman. And I went, wow. Fuck. That's a big one. That's definitely a big one. And I thought, well, you know what? That means I've got to watch this. I've got to see this happen. And I did. I went and found it on YouTube, on the WWE's YouTube channel. And it was a great moment. And from there, I went on and watched more of what happened on Raw. And just seen, well, first of all, the Paul Heyman moment I thought was done perfectly. And I think it was shocking because nobody has put their hands on Paul Heyman for a very long time. He's one of the most protected characters in the industry, to be honest. No one's put a hand on him since Hell in a Cell against CM Punk, when it was CM Punk versus Ryback and Curtis Axel with Paul Heyman on their side, and it was on top of the cell, and he just kicked the crap out of him on top of the cell, and that was such an amazing moment, a wonderful moment, and yet since then nothing's happened. And I think that has built up in our minds and gone, you know what, the next time this happens it's going to be big. And Paul Heyman gets choked out by Samoa Joe. That grabs my attention. It's a good spoiler, and it makes me want to go and watch the product. I can't think of anything better than that. Can you? Well, I can think of one thing better. That was then coming across the Dean Ambrose and Miz segment on Raw. I loved it. It's so cheesy. It's so bad, but I loved it. The Miz dropping an elbow on a grandfather clock and just kicking and beating up a present. It was so childish humour. But I've got to admit, I lost all my adulthood at that moment, and I just became this kid pissing himself laughing at a grandfather clock being beaten up. It was brilliant. I loved it. Absolutely fantastic. And and I'm really interested to see where that goes from there. You have been listening to the European Uppercut podcast here on the Trending Topics Network. Make sure that you go and check out all the other wonderful programming we have here on the network, from wrestling to Eurovision to movies to legends of the music industry to everything else that's going on. We love every listener that we have here, and anyone who gets in touch is absolutely brilliant. You can find us here for the European Uppercut podcast on the Trending Topics Network around this time every week. You can find us on Twitter at the EU Pod, or on our Facebook page, European Uppercut Podcast. You can go back and listen to some of the interviews that I've done over the last few weeks. Really exciting stuff to be able to sit down with some big names from the British scene, and some names that are on the way up that you may not know now, but you may know in a few years' time when they end up in NXT, WWE, or in Japan. I think that's a real possibility. So it's always interesting to see people when they're on the cusp of getting into the industry. My name's Kai Valentine. You can find me on Twitter at KaiJValentine. This show, as I say, at the EU Pod. My other shows are at Siren Legends, or the station at Siren FM, which I do all the marketing and social media management for. But thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the European Uppercut podcast, and we will see you right back here next week.